I know what you mean in your prayer about how sometimes we just don't feel like the words that we can come up with are efficient in describing how much we appreciate what our Lord and Savior does for us. You know, folks, our God is so good. He provides everything we need. I can't tell you how often I get up on a morning and all of a sudden the Lord will just give me what needed to be said. I come to this pulpit just as Pastor Gene did, to be quite honest with you. Pastor Gene and I speak on a daily basis, and except for on the weekends, Monday through Friday, in my long commute to West Sacramento, which, you know, I'm starting to become more and more thankful for, because, and I apologize that I complained about that. It's a miserable thing. I'm not going to deny that. It's absolutely miserable getting out there in that traffic and sitting there for 45 minutes to an hour just to get to work. But it gives me the time to spend a little time with Pastor Gene, and we have so much time. We have so much in common. He's better looking, I know. But he's more tolerant, I know. But so many times I have gotten out of bed in the morning and the Lord just gives me what He wants me to say right then and there, just before services. So often I come to this pulpit with just a few pages of notes, but yet the Lord gives me the words to speak, words that you folks need to hear sometimes. Yeah. How often have you sat here and said, you know, I needed to hear that today? Those are words that come from God. This is God using His word to apply it to your hearts. This is our Lord and Savior speaking to each and every one of us. I know it's the voice of John you hear, but it's God using His word and applying it to your heart, blessing you with what's being said. It's not me. There's no wisdom in John Reeves. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, just as you are. We all have been given certain gifts. And our Lord encourages us and gets us and brings us to that point to where we use those gifts that He has given us for His glory. And I don't want anybody to ever think that what they do here, no matter how little or no matter how great it is, that they're not appreciated by everyone else here. I have come to know so well an appreciation for what you folks do. Every single little or large bit. Nothing has gone unnoticed or that I'm not thankful for. Well, let's get on with our Bible study, shall we? Turn to Matthew chapter 17, if you would, please. And we're going to continue this morning in our series of studies, Simon Peter, an Apostle of Christ. We're looking at the road, the pathway that our Lord leads Peter through. And we're taking that road and those steps along through with Him through the Word of God, showing us these things that Peter must go through so that when Peter gets to that point where he writes his two epistles, we've got a little bit more understanding of his experience in giving him the ability to write what he does in those two epistles. In our last study, our Savior, having returned from the mountain where He had transformed, where He was transformed, showing a select few, Peter, James, and John, a portion of His glory. Christ healed a boy who was vexed with a demon. And the other disciples were under much harassment when they returned, when they came to the down off of the hill. They were being harassed by religious leaders, scribes, as it says in scriptures. saying things like, if you be of Christ, if you're one of Christ's disciples, how come you can't save this boy? You saved others over here. How come you can't save this boy? You must not be real. What you're saying, you must not really be of Christ. There must be some fault with you, after all, is what they're saying. I could not help but think of these same scribes and what they are about to say when the Lord of all creation is to be hung on the cruel cross. How many shouted out, "If thou be the Christ, save yourself." Do you know that's what the devil said? The devil said, if you have all the power, then call your angels together and have them save you from this high pinnacle. Thrust yourself off and see what happens. Temptation of God is what they're doing. Yeah. Tempting God. If you be the Christ, if you be of Christ, and they say the same thing in today's world, don't they? If you're truly of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you should love everybody. If you're truly of the Lord Jesus Christ, you should give everything you have and help the poor. If you're truly of the Lord Jesus Christ, I wouldn't have heard those words come out of your mouth. You see, the people who really think of God's people being holier now are those who aren't holy at all either. They're the ones who think that you should be holier than now. We know better, don't we?
Yes, sir.
We know that no matter what we do in this life, no matter how we walk, and I'm not saying that as a way, and it's got to be stated this way, I'm not giving permission, and neither is any of God's children, for us to go out and sin. That is not what we're saying. To be very clear, though, it is not how we walk that shows what we are. It's what we believe. Whosoever believeth in me, the Lord says. What's the believer's rule of life? What is it? Glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory in His cross. That's what we read a couple weeks back. I'm sorry, Donnie, you might have missed that. Well, let me see if I can remember where that was. Does anybody remember where we read that? The believer's rule of life. I think Donna was gone, and I want her to read that in her presence right now. We're catering. Where was that? Oh. 2 Thessalonians, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
2 Thessalonians? Hang on. We're getting there. We're not in any hurry this morning, are we, folks? 2 Thessalonians 5, I think it was. No. Nope. Wasn't 2 Thessalonians. How about Timothy? Might have been Timothy.
What are you looking for?
The believer's rule of life. No, it wasn't 2 Timothy. It wasn't 1 Timothy. No. I'm going to find that for you, Donna. Scripture tells us what the believer's rule of life is. The way it actually just declares, and I'm going to have to just paraphrase it for now because I'm not able to look it up. But we'll do that before the day is over. I want you to see this in Scripture. It says, "Whoever walks by this rule," and then back in verse 14, it says what that rule is, and that rule is to glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the believer's rule of life. Many believe that the Ten Commandments are that rule, and that's not true at all. So back to our subject that we're talking about here, these scribes would cry out, if thou be the Christ, save yourself. In John 10:24, our Lord says this, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Now hear what the Lord says. And Jesus answered him. He says, I have told you. He's speaking to these scribes and these Pharisees who are hollering out, if you're the Christ, tell us plainly. And the Lord Jesus says, I told you. And you believe not. And then he says, the works that I do in my Father's name, all the miracles that he had performed right before their very faces, the feeding of the 5,000, all the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of it. They prove who he is. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Could any other man do that? They proved who he was right there before these very ones. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. Plain and simple. There's no, this is what I think that means. There's no, well, it could mean this. No, this is plain and simple. God's word, right to each and every one of us. Believed, but ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. We hear the voice of God saying, I have an elect. We hear the voice of God saying, these are my people. And I will be their God. And I will write my laws upon their hearts. And I will save them. And they will be with me for eternity. We hear the voice of God, do we not?
Yes.
And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. These religious hypocrites, they were rebuked by our Lord where he said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I suffer? How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Oh, for the patience. Aren't you glad for patience? I like that. I like that saying, I'm a work in progress. I surely am. Ask Kathy. She can tell you. She's been progressing for 40 years. I'm still not quite right yet. Baby, in eternity, I'll be right. Oh, for the patience our Creator has with the wicked. And with us. In Psalms 86:15, it says this, But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Oh, what a God we have, who is full of compassion and long-suffering. In Romans 9:22, we read, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? What if God was willing to endure with long suffering, the vessels of wrath that were fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. You and I. That's what we are. Vessels of his mercy. Vessels of his grace. Vessels of his love, which he had afore prepared unto glory. We closed last week with the Lord instructing his disciples, where he said, how be it this kind, speaking of the child who was vexed with a demon, his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, why couldn't we cast this one out? We had done others." These Pharisees, these scribes who were beating on us about whether we were of you or not, we were embarrassed. Why couldn't we do this? And our Lord said, "Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So therefore, let us serve him." Serve our Lord with prayer. You know, every Friday night we have a prayer time. And we have a list. And on that list, sometimes things change, but for the most part, they all stay the same. We always pray for our elderly, and we list a few. We always pray for our loved ones. We always pray for our country, the leaders of our country, our services, our ministries, our bulletins. We include Rick Ward and the saints in Marysville. The power of prayer cannot be described. We've even talked about this just recently. Mike Lovelace brought it up. We're not sure really what that power is. But oh, how many things of God's ways we are not sure of. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now y'all explain that to me. You can't, can you? No, there's so many things that we try to explain in the Bible, but we can't. Prayer is one of those things. We don't change God's ways. We're not changing anything. You know, when the Lord walked through the Garden of Eden, he knew exactly where Adam was, but yet he asked Adam, "Where are you?" Why? So that Adam would know where he was. All of a sudden, guilt came upon him. Well, Lord, the devil beguiled him. And did this and did that. And all of a sudden he began to come up with all the excuses. God knew right where he was. But he asked the question so that Adam would know. Why should we pray? So that we know what to pray for. Lord, thou will be done. Everything else, we are to come to God with our petitions. We are to come to God. Lord, help me. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Lord, as you have so wisely called me out of the darkness when I was 40 years old, Father, I pray that there is wisdom and that you will call my son or my daughter. Deep inside of myself, I have a prayer right now that my daughter and her husband may join us. I have no inclination that they will. My expectation is that they'll stay over there in the house over there and won't even bother to set foot in this side of the building. But oh, how I pray that my Lord might do something. The fasting part that it was talking about is not from food. Although I understand fasting can be good for your body. But the fasting part our Lord is talking about here is spiritual. Putting away, refraining from looking to ourselves and look only to the one. Only to him. Fast from your own works and look to the works of our Savior. Let us therefore serve him with prayer, trusting him and fasting. By denying the strength, goodness, and power or ability of ourselves, seeking not our will but his, seeking not our own gratification but his glory. Lord, Please do something in my daughter and her husband's hearts. But not my will, Lord, thy will be done. You get the point? Can we see what this is talking about to us? Let's take that into consideration as we go forth into verses 22 and 23 of chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verse 22. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed in the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they, speaking of the disciples, were exceeding sorry. Now our Lord's heart was focused upon his death from eternity. He came into the world to suffer and die for his people. And every step that he took moved him with a predetermined pace to the appointed place and the appointed hour in which he would lay down his life for the people that he had loved from everlasting and had came to save. How many times we read in the scriptures statements like this, where he was speaking to his parents. You'll recall that Christ had gone off as his parents were returning from, I don't remember exactly where it was, they were on their way back from one of the feasts, and Christ had stayed. And they got to read, where's Jesus at? He's not with us. And they were worried, and they came back and they found him. They told him, what are you doing? Why? What are you doing making us worry like that? And Jesus said to them, how is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Here he is, a teenage boy, and he's telling his parents, don't you know that I'm here to do my Father's business? You see what I'm saying? From the day he was born, that's what he was here for.
Yes.
That's why he was born. To fulfill the covenant that was made before the world began. God the Father gave God the Son a people. God the Son redeemed and paid the price for those people. And God the Spirit comes to each and every one of us and calls us in the day of his love and reveals those truths to us. Our Lord was all about his Father's business. It was set before the world was created, and God didn't just become a man to satisfy a whim. No, it wasn't just for the fun of it. He had a purpose, and this was his purpose. The purpose, the Son of Man shall be betrayed in the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. As I spoke to you in last Sunday's message, there is only one salvation from the wrath to come. Salvation is of the Lord. Christ Jesus had to be betrayed by the hands of men. In John 1 verse 11 he says, and he came unto his own, and his own received him not. You may recall back in chapter 6, our Lord began telling his disciples this very point. And they found it a very hard thing to bear. In 16 verse 21, from that time forth our Lord began, Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. And look what happened. Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And then we remember what our Lord rebuked Peter, didn't we? Get thee behind me, Satan. This is what Christ has come here to do. The devil is, that's what the devil was trying to do. Defeat Christ by not letting him get to the cross. Peter was trying to say, Lord, no, you can't go to that cross. No, I can't let you die. Oh yes, I'm glad he did.
Yes, sir.
It's a bitter sweetness, but it's a sweetness for sure.
Yes, sir.
Because if he didn't, then where would our sins be but still be upon us, right?
Yes.
A sacrifice had to be made. Blood had to be shed. And we all know that the blood of bulls and goats doesn't do anything, does it? But the blood of God cleanseth all his people from their sins. Because because his heart was fixed upon us from eternity, he was determined to die upon the cursed tree. And he spoke often of that event. Here he tells his disciples now for a third time that how he must go to Jerusalem and be betrayed by the hands of men and die. Don Fortner wrote this. He says, "Our Savior was not the helpless victim of circumstances beyond his control. He voluntarily laid down his life for his sheep. As we read in John 10:17-18, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down," he says, "and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Is he not doing the Father's will? Is that not what he was doing? Exactly. "This is my beloved Son," the Father says, "of whom I am well pleased. The only one to ever walk the earth who did everything exactly the way the Father was pleased to see it." And he did so by the will and the purpose and the determinate counsel of God the Father. In Acts 23, we read him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. "Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." And Fortner goes on to write about that. He says, "But let it never be forgotten that the Lord of glory was betrayed and slain by the hands of wicked men. The Son of Man came into the world to save men and was by a man betrayed into the hands of men. For men he lived and by man he was betrayed. For men he died and by men he died. Nothing would satisfy the rage of men against him but his own blood. God hating man ever cries out, 'Give us his blood.' Yet nothing could satisfy the wrath of justice of God but his blood. When justice found our sins upon him, justice cried out, 'Give me his blood.' And by his precious sin atoning blood, divine justice is fully and forever satisfied." End of quote. Folks, I have a peace. I have a peace within me. I quit watching news.
Yes.
I actually got up and turned it on this morning for about 30 seconds. That was all I could handle of it. There's so much chaos in our world around us right now. Evil is good. And good is evil. Tell me you don't see that in the world around us. You know, our Lord says it's going to wax worse and worse, right? We ain't seen nothing yet. Imagine what those true believers were thinking when the Lord, just before the Lord, had Babylon come down into Jerusalem and destroy it. You know, there were many, the prophets of that time warned, "This is coming. This is coming. This is coming." The prophet of this time right now says, "It's coming. It's coming. It's going to wax worse and worse. I don't think we've seen anything yet." We're probably going to go through things sometime in our life that we're going to look back at this very moment and say, "Whoo, man, I had such peace then. Sure wish I had that peace now." I have peace in this chaotic world. And my peace is that Christ is the Lord. And he provided himself a sacrifice for me, a sinner, condemned, unclean, and unworthy. So let's close this morning's study, shall we, with these last verses of chapter 17. At verse 24, "And when they were come to Capernaum," that means speaking of Christ and the disciples, "that they received tribute, money came to Peter. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute came to Peter and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" He saith, speaking of Peter, "Yes." And when he is come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" Notice that the Lord said to Peter before Peter could ask anything about the tribute. He had just come into the house. And what does it say? It says Jesus prevented him from saying it. Our Lord knows already everything. Does that not show us that very thing right here? He knew what Peter was going to ask. He knew what Peter was coming in for. And Peter saith unto him in verse 26, "Of strangers," Jesus saith unto him, "then are the children free, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. Go thou to the sea and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give unto them for me and thee." Robert Hawker wrote this. He says, "It should seem that this tribute money was not what the publicans gathered for the Roman emperors, but for the temple service. The Son of God had no right to pay it, strictly speaking that is, for he himself was the Lord of the temple. But as the head and the husband of his people, becoming debtor thereby to the whole law, it was justly due. But what a beautiful occasion Jesus took thereon to manifest his power and the Godhead by the fish with money." And reader, don't miss out this. If to supply this pressing occasion, Jesus wrought a miracle then, will he be inattentive to any of the wants of his people now? Our Lord says in Romans, he gave us his only begotten Son. He gave up his only Son. How shall he not give us all things? Jesus wrought a miracle. Oh, how blessedly doth every incident in the life of Christ minister instructions of grace and comfort. End of quote. We don't have to go far to see how wonderful our Lord provides, do we, folks? There's a brand new roof on that building over there. And you men know that I've talked to you about how we were going to go to a bank and borrow money to put that roof on so we could get into construction. But yet our Lord provided a better way. He came to us with the love of a person who gave us the money to take care of that without interest in repayment. You tell me the Lord doesn't provide all of our needs. Look at what he did with this air conditioner heater unit that we're just about ready to go into another winter with. Folks, we're such a small group here, but yet our Lord provided us the money for that in 3 months' time. Cash. I anticipate. I expect. I expect my Lord will continue to do such things for me. I expect he'll continue to do very such things for us.
Yes.
Why? He says he will.
Yes.
And I believe God. Right here in my life, I can see the miracle of God's provision for His chosen people. What do we have that He has not given us? Yet even if it be His will to take it all away, my praise will still be due Him for His wonderful gift of mercy and grace in saving my soul. Again, I quote Don Fortner where he writes, Beyond those things plainly revealed in this passage, there are beautiful, spiritual, blessed truths beneath the surface. Notice that our Lord Jesus Christ willingly came under tribute for our sakes. by his one payment, a payment which he provided, typified in the ransom money required under the law. It was required for people to do, to give tribute to the temple. That was part of the law. If you didn't give tribute, you were breaking the law. You see what we are beginning a picture of here? Our Lord fulfilled all of the law, not just part of it. And he could have said, no, you know, I'm the Lord of the temple. But he fulfilled the law for us, for Peter and himself. By his one payment, a payment which he provided, it typified the ransom money required under the law. By the sacrifice of himself, he cleared our debt completely. Notice there were not two coins. I almost said this. I knew what Don Fortner had written, and I was this close to saying it when we were reading it a moment ago. I said, no, wait, hold up. Notice that there were not two coins. One for Peter and one for the Lord Jesus, our substitute. No, there was one piece of money which made payment for both. What a picture this is of our complete union with Christ in redemption. Our debt became His. His payment was and is ours. Oh, does that not just bless your heart? By His one sacrifice, both the surety and those for whom He died must go free. In all things, folks, if He did not withhold the sacrifice of His own Son, how shall He not give us all things? In all things, seek the glory of God. Even in our troubles. Lord, how can I glorify You in this trouble that I am dealing with right now? Lord, how can I glorify You in the trouble that I am dealing with in life right here in front of me? Let us live in the awareness of His presence with us. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that means right now, right here, right this moment. Let us live to honor His name. Let us seek to help others by our behavior, molding our lives to the example that Christ has laid before us. End of quote. Stand with me if you would, please.